Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony. Got a great show lined up for you today with our guest Lisa Haven, who I'm sure most of you will know. We cover a lot of ground, a lot of very interesting topics as they relate to the world today and how they fit into Bible prophecy for the days ahead. I want to welcome Lisa Haven to the A Minute to Midnight show. I'm sure she will need no introduction to most of you, as I'm sure you have followed her as we have over a period of time with her very informative alternative news updates and insights into what's happening in America and the world at large, and of course how this all fits in with Bible prophecy in the end days. So welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
That's all good. Oh, there's so many things that we can talk about, and I'm sure we aren't going to run out of ideas. Obviously, the first thing that's, you know, on the mind for you guys over there would be the elections and what's happened there, with Donald Trump being elected, and people are saying surprisingly elected, and no one was expecting it. Which we actually were expecting it. We kind of knew, well, I felt pretty confident Donald Trump was going to win. But regardless of how people, you know, sort of see that, whether they're, you know, totally pro Donald Trump or not, the fact of what's going on at the moment with protests and all of that has got to be a bit of a worry.
Oh, yeah. Well, for starters, I'll say this. I kind of covered the election, you know, early on into it when they started campaigning. I know 2 years ago, they have these long campaign trails here in America, and it's kind of, they need to shorten it. But that's aside from the point. But with it, there was so much downplay with Donald Trump, even from the get-go. Oh, he's going for president. That's funny. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, let him run. And I think a lot of the elitists, the globalists, didn't take him seriously because they think, quite frankly, he didn't have a chance to make it as far as he did. And the thing with Donald Trump is here in America, it's really sparked a freedom movement because a lot of people are ticked off. They're upset. We don't want a new world order. We don't want a globalist country. And so a lot of people knew that Donald Trump was anti-establishment, anti-globalist, and all these things that the lies we're hearing on the mainstream media, the lies we're hearing from the presidency, the corruption. I mean, for a woman like Hillary Clinton to even get to where she was with the amount of corruption that she had is explicitly unheard of. I mean, no one should have that much corruption, that much stuff going on, and be able to make it into the presidency as a nominee, obviously not president. But yet here she was up the ladder with her, you know, email issues, with her evidence of her Democratic National Convention, those underneath that, those through it, rigging the elections. That was revealed on Project Veritas. If people haven't seen those videos, Google Project Veritas and check them out. But main leaders, Scott Fogel and Bob Cramer, were exposed in that from the get-go. But here we are, fast forward, and we have our two nominees. We know, Hillary Clinton, who actually stole it from Bernie Sanders. I don't care for either one, yeah. Bernie or Hillary, but she did steal it if we're going to, you know, compare it that way. And I honestly think if the globalists would have put in Bernie over the other one, and I'm not sure he is establishment either, but I don't agree with his views because he's socialism, and socialism is not a good thing for our country. But I think that it would have been a lot harder for Trump to win. So I'm thankful he's not in for that reason. Yeah. But Hillary, on the other hand, did a lot of stealing. She stole 5 states. And even though she stole those 5 states, Donald Trump still won. And so that tells me that he won by an evident landslide, because that's the only way we're going to win elections. I've talked to people like Larry Nichols, who, you know, constantly goes on record about how it's been rigged. And he played a part in that years ago when he was with the Clintons. Yes. And So here we are with Donald Trump, and people are sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. I don't want to hear it anymore. And so it's more of a movement that is behind Trump. I mean, Trump has some issues. He's not going to be the savior of the world, as some are claiming. He's got issues. Yeah. He's got things that I don't particularly care for about him. But there's also things that I really like about him. And there's things that I'm going to stand against him for on my YouTube channel, and things that I'll stand with him on. But nonetheless, I think it's the movement, it's the freedom that stands behind him. And, you know, he'll be inaugurated. Now, I do worry about his life. Yeah. I think that assassination is a possibility. I don't put it off the table. I also think because he's anti-globalist that they could let the economy go down. That's just a possibility. I'm not saying it will happen, but they could crash or destabilize the economy some way here in America underneath Donald Trump, because they want to give him a bad name. They want to see, look what he's done, kind of a thing, if that makes sense.
I sort of make myself perhaps a little bit unpopular with some people. I know some people don't like it, but I actually question whether Donald Trump certainly is anti-globalist. He may well be, and I really hope he is, and I'm not anti-Donald Trump. I'm kind of watching very carefully to see what he does, and there is always a real possibility in my mind that Donald Trump is playing a Hegelian dialectic role, where he's actually played the opposite to Clinton, and that's always been part of the plan. I did some research, and I've written a couple of articles and things where some stuff I came up with made me think, ooh, I'm not sure that Donald Trump is all he's saying he is, and that perhaps he was always the globalist's choice of president. But when I say that, I think there's different levels of the globalists. I'm not saying the Clintons and Obama. I think they're actually at a lower level. But the really high up ones in behind the shadow government may have always had Donald Trump as their preferred candidate. And I hope I'm wrong about that. I'm not categorically saying that's the case. I'm just not totally convinced at this point which way, you know, I don't totally trust him. I want to, but the jury's out in my mind about it. But as far as Hillary Clinton goes, absolutely no question. She should never have even got anywhere near the, you know, running for presidency. As we know, and you've uncovered stuff too with her witchcraft, and of course, having interviewed Larry Nichols, that was, you know, I really like those interviews where, you know, Larry's been on, and it brought out so much stuff. You know, there's just no way that Hillary Clinton should be even there. But that brings me to the whole point of George Soros and his, you know, funding protests. And, you know, he's been a long time backer of the Clintons.
Oh, yeah. You know, about your comment first on Donald Trump, you know, can I say that will or won't happen? I don't know. You know, I think I'm on that level that I pray that that is not the case. So I don't know with 100% certainty if he is anti-globalist or not. Now, as far as I know, I lean more towards that he actually is against them, because he's gone to like luncheons and meetings, and he goes in there and he actually blasts them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think they're kind of shooken off their post here, but there are things that make me think, huh. But at the same level, what I will say is I've actually followed Donald Trump a few years, even before his presidency. And in those years, you know, he's had some wishy-washy views on things, but he's changed them over time because, oh, I didn't understand this or that was happening, which gave me hope. And then I also questioned his ties to the Clintons years ago.
Yeah.
Because you're going to hang out with the Clintons, you better have an answer for it years ago. And on an interview that I saw with him, he said the reason that he did it is because, you know, at first, you know, you kind of just calm the waters with everyone. And, you know, these are, you know, high up people. You're not going to rock the boat, so to speak. But then he said it crossed the line where they were doing corruption. They were stealing our freedoms. We have, you know, all the sick, disgusting, satanic and child rituals that they have. And he said it just crossed that line to where he's keeping his enemies close in order that he can get to where he is today. So it's kind of like, in order to save our freedoms, you had to befriend the people to get to where he's at. And that was his response to, well, what happened to when you were friends with Hillary Clinton? So I kind of took that to heart. And then I also know that Donald Trump has known a lot about the conspiracies. He knows about New World Order. He knows about, globalization. He knows some of the things that your average person isn't educated on. So that's why I'm hopeful. But like you said, you know, is there a chance that he could be purely establishment? Absolutely. But I pray that that is not the case. And I'm hopeful for our country and America that it's not. But I guess we'll tell. When he becomes president, if there's no assassination and he gets in there and he starts changing things, then I'll know he's real. But if it goes a completely opposite direction, well, then we know it's not.
Yeah, that's very good points, because, you know, we've heard the mainstream media, you know, Trump could do nothing right, and it was all Clinton this and, you know, pumping this terrible witch up to be somebody great when she's not. But I've seen a sort of opposite trend in a lot of the alternative media where Donald Trump can do no wrong either. And it's like, you know, if you question that Donald Trump may not be exactly who he says he is, you're almost branded as a blasphemy or something, you know, which is crazy. It's like our job is to actually look at these people and make decisions based on facts and research. And to, you know, we need to keep diligent. And like you, I mean, I really hope that Donald Trump is who he says he is and does the things he says. But, you know, we've got to just be diligent, because we're living in the end days and deception is rife.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the other thing we have to consider, is we are that generation that is living in the end times. Now, whether we're getting more time, we're getting stunted, or maybe this is how, you know, America has a lot of globalists come after it. Now, I know he sparked also other countries. I know Nigel Farage came and met with him, the whole Brexit thing there with Nigel Farage. So that was interesting. But as far as George Soros, now the man needs to go to jail, and probably even more. But, you know, here he is he's openly, and it's not even behind closed doors anymore. I mean, he has Open Society and other organizations, MoveOn.org. We have, you know, the Black Lives Matter. He's funding a lot of these types of organizations, giving money in which they can go and protest. And this is how he's destabilized other countries. He was behind some of what happened in the Middle Eastern countries when, they rose against, and they had a lot of movement abroad. And he's bringing it here to America. And now we had it during the election, but now we're also having it after, as demonstrations all across the U.S. are taking place. We had, 10 different places: Seattle, Portland, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, Chicago, Salt Lake, you know, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, and many others. And, you know, currently I did a report today in which I talked about they have big plans for Inauguration Day. So there's a whole Facebook page devoted to this. 8,000 people are planning to ascend in Washington, D.C. to protest Donald Trump on Inauguration Day. And there's also, stuff going out on Twitter where I think it's a D.O. hashtag. What's the hashtag? Hold on. I think it's hashtag DisruptJ20. That's what's going on Twitter, in which they're promoting this. So they're planning to do even a bigger riot. Now, will it be peaceful or not? I would say probably not, based off their other ones. You know, they've been caught burning American flags. And I'm sorry, if you're going to be in any country and live in that country, whether you're in New Zealand, you have a New Zealand, you know, symbol, whether you're in Germany, you have your German symbol, whether you're in America, you have the American flag, you should not burn it. And if you not, you know, then get out. And it's just disheartening that they are wanting to bring in things like socialism, which completely break down, you know, the free country that we have here. That's not freedom. That always, every time does a rich class and a poor class. There's never a middle class. It never ends up that way. If we use every single example in history, and we don't have to look too far, I bring this up on my channel, but we'll look to Venezuela. I mean, they're in complete chaos. That's a socialist style country. And most of the people are, you know, they're not living in mediocre homes and living, you know, a middle class style life. It's more of a, you know, the poor class versus the rich ruling elite. And that's what we don't want. But anyhow, I think I went a bit on a tangent there, but.
No, that's good. The thing is, you know, they've been bussing in these protesters with George Soros's money, no doubt. And, you know, right on the first day, there were people calling for an assassination attempt on Trump. Well, if somebody in New Zealand were to text out threats to assassinate our Prime Minister in New Zealand, I would say that the police would be there in no time at all. So how are these people in America getting away with this sort of stuff? Why isn't Obama actually saying something really solidly against what's going on here? He's the president. He should be, you know, speaking against this kind of stuff, surely.
Well, he won't speak against it. I know Hillary has made her own little comments around, not that bluntly, but, you know, kind of around the same aspect. But I mean, we do have something we value in America is we do have a freedom of speech, and people can say those things. But unfortunately, there's also systems in place like the NSA spy grid that jots all that down. Quite frankly, I wish we didn't have anything like that either, because our information should be our information, but it's gone above the levels of just looking into terrorism. But now they're forming profiles against patriots, against there was even a time where they talked about putting a color list based off your Facebook page. So if a cop pulled you over and you're a little bit more radical in your post, well, you're automatically red. Well, what will that do? Put a cop on edge just for pulling you over. I mean, get over it. We don't need that kind of tension in America either. And, you know, I think a lot of it, they shouldn't be saying that. But if anybody does say things like, you know, I'm going to kill so-and-so or I'm going to kill Donald Trump, these things can legally be reported to the police and the police will have to take action. So that's something that can happen. That's something that will happen. It's probably, and they may have been investigating some of these people. The thing is, we won't always know the level to which or not. But anyone who goes around saying that's going to, they're going to have that down anyway, but not because of the NSA necessarily, but because people are like, what, you know, but the thing is, too, though, they kind of push it from the left. They don't want him alive. They want to spark some kind of event. You know, they've even said it on mainstream media. Somebody should take out Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember which station it was, but it was one station in particular, and I'm blanking on the station, but they said it very blatantly. And I'm like, wow. And it wasn't one person. It was a conversation of people just discussing how he should be taken out. And you know what? And, you know, if we said anything about that, you know, in regards to Obama or even Hillary, you know, somebody likely be at my door.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
There are people that are more up in status than one or the other, which again, it kind of gives me hope that maybe he is for real, you know? Yeah. So in that manner, but again, you never know. And because I don't have all the details and you don't have all the details, we don't know for certain. And that's the thing. We just know by what they do, what they pass, what laws, the people they hang around with. These are things we can watch.
And it plays into the hands of the New World Order, the chaos. I mean, we know the motto of the Illuminati, order out of chaos. And what I see, and I've said this beforehand, no matter which one wins, the other side is going to cause chaos. That's I think that's the plan, is to cause mass chaos and unrest. Because you're not going to overthrow America or the Constitution and get a new world order without some kind of chaotic thing that calls for martial law and perhaps an UN intervention, etc. Because let's face it, the globalist's ultimate goal is globalism. It's not to have a United States strong above the rest of the world. It's to level the playing field and have, you know, the single world government where everyone is equal sort of thing, a socialist kind of thing. And I've said before, it doesn't matter if you call it fascism or communism, you have a super elite at the top and everyone else is underneath them. And that's their end goal. But yeah, did you happen to see the report that the Sanhedrin is supposedly you know, approached both Donald Trump and Putin and asked them to have a role in building the third temple?
I saw some of that on Stephen Ben-Danoon's channel, who he actually lives in Israel, so he's got a little more insight, and he's a friend of mine on Facebook, really great guy. I haven't delved into it as much as I wanted to. I heard about it and I scraped the surface, and I wanted to get more into it. But if that's the case, you know, that is just, we're on the brink, you know, if they were, and I wonder if they even would. Now, I don't foresee Putin.
Yeah.
I always get corrected. Putin is doing that. I don't think he'll play any role in it whatsoever. I think he may do the opposite, because we know someone comes after them with hooks in the jaws, and that could be from the north. That could be Russia. So I don't believe Russia will help in any way with that.
Yeah, so that's Ezekiel 37 and 38, that whole, the
hooks in the jaw.
Yeah, yes. I'm definitely watching it really closely. My viewpoint is, if they do build a third temple in Jerusalem, I mean, I fully support Israel's right to exist, with Jerusalem as the capital, you know, no question there. But I'm also very well aware of the Illuminists having built the Supreme Court building, the Freemasons, etc., in Israel. And somebody actually sent me a photo the other day from New Zealand. It was in a Masonic lodge in the South Island here, and it was a photograph on a wall of a model of the Third Temple, and it said, oh, I can't remember the exact words, but the Freemasons want to build a Third Temple, and we know it's a lot of work, kind of thing. And I was quite stunned, because I think if they do end up building a Third Temple, it's very likely to be Freemasonry influenced and behind it. And as Christians, you know, I don't think we should be supporting or sending money to build a third temple or whatever.
Well, no, I actually agree with you there, because we know the third temple is going to be desecrated by the Antichrist, you know, at some point. And if you have that view, I'm not sure, but
okay.
And it's you know, and we hear the Pope talk. We've heard, you know, even Benjamin Netanyahu talk. And from the Pope, he wants to make it for all religions. That's desecration in and of itself. If you go, you know, by the Old Testament, to have everyone there praying, no matter your religion, didn't matter, but it's a peaceful place for every human being. That right there tells me the Illuminati is automatically involved in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, so you have that there. But there's also a website that already has blue plans and everything, the Temple Institute. You've heard of them, yes?
Yes.
Yes, between them, they have that, and they have the Sanhedrin, which was formed not that long ago, you know, as a revival of that. So we have the things in play. We have the priests ready to go. We have articles already being created. I think they had the candelabra. They had the priest vest. I mean, they had a lot of it already completed. And then they were, there was also things on the red heifer, because they have to have the perfect red heifer sacrifice as well. And they've got things underway for that already. And they already have, I believe, they have one ready, or almost ready, or, you know, it's in the making some way or shape. Yeah, so, and according to sources, it could take a year to build, or less than a year.
I just found that picture I was talking about, the heading of the picture. It says, the Freemasons plan to rebuild Solomon's temple at Jerusalem, a gigantic task. Now, I would say that it's a scale model, and it's a photo of it, and there's a whole lot of other writing I can't read, but I would imagine that was probably something from the 1970s or early 80s, but it just does show you that the Freemasons have got a plan in there. So perhaps they're part of the Temple Institute. I'm obviously speculating there. I can't prove it, but, you know, they're definitely things to watch because, yeah, the whole one world religion, the move towards that is also a big part of what's going on. And we see it with Pope Francis and others pushing that whole narrative at the moment quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, here's the truth, though. All the things, biblically speaking, are lining up. We have, you know, the temple, you know, kind of underway with the Temple Institute. Now it's not being built yet. I know there's speculation on will the temple be built exactly where the Dome of the Rock lies. There is also a belief out there that it could be built next to it. And then there's a third belief out there that it could be in another location altogether. Of those three, I actually contacted someone at the Sanhedrin, because I put out some reports on it and I've got some contacts there. And I said, hey, you know, just out of curiosity, would you guys, you know, you probably heard about the secondary location, the one that's right next to it. Would that ever be something considered by the Sanhedrin? And he said, no. So I'm like, okay. So that was something that, you know, I was just took to heart. So but we never know how it's going to play out in the end. But it was one of those questions I always wanted to ask, you know.
Yeah, that is interesting that you contacted someone directly and asked them, because I've wondered that myself. In fact, I was thinking about that yesterday. So you've just answered my question, which is great. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
But it's hard to see how it's, you know, there's a lot of pieces to still fit in the puzzle, but we can see it getting closer all the time. The other thing is, have you sort of had any updates recently? I know you were quite big on following the Agenda 2030 stuff. Have you sort of heard anything much going on with that?
Oh, yeah. On the day Donald Trump was elected, and I'm going from memory here somewhat, but on the day that he was elected, there was a big united, like, event. Let me pull it up. One reported. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I did a report. It's called Two Things Happened and No One Reported on It the Day Donald Trump Was Elected. And what it displayed is that a sustainable development United Nations event took place in which they purposefully pushed the United Nations agenda, you know, kind of saying, we're going to continue on this path. But it was the General Assembly president who outlined a strategy to implement UN 2030 and told them, you know, don't fear, basically, the day Trump was elected, we're going to fast track the implementation of the 2030. So here we have the same day he is become president. Why would they do this? Well, because he doesn't believe in global warming. Donald Trump has been very open about that. He says global warming is a bunch of junk and it's not real. Well, because of this, I believe, because they knew Donald Trump was in, why would the U.S. decide to automatically fast track this 2030 agenda? And so including their 17-point framework that ensures, quote, peace, which we know is a false peace. But if you look through, and I've read all 17 of those, on 16.9, it's goal 16, the ninth piece, it talks about having an international ID for every man, woman, and child on this planet. That is very eerie to Mark of the Beast style stuff. Which sends chills down my spine. But this report just wanted to when the General Assembly president went through and talked about this, he wanted the people at the UN to know that, you know, everyone's still committed, no matter who takes oath of office, and we're going to succeed and we're going to push it through. And I think, again, they're pushing it through because they're worried about Donald Trump. But I find that fascinating that it's on the same day. That's not a coincidence.
No, it isn't at all. And it will actually be interesting to see, you know, what even Obama does in his remaining time in office with all of these things, like the Agenda 2030, and also the move to, you know, bring peace or to bring a division of Jerusalem with the Palestinian and Israeli conflict, to just watch Obama's moves in the next little while. As far as Agenda 2030 goes, I felt when that was signed by, I think, 117 countries from memory in September 2015. I thought that is the New World Order, really. That's a blueprint for it.
It is a blueprint for it. Now, if we go back, there's quite a few documents. There's the Potential Implications of Trends in World Population, Food Production, and Climate. This is a document in 1974. People can Google that and pull it up. And it is this document that talked about, quite frankly, depopulation. We're on a stable path. How do we handle this? And they entertain the idea of how to ration food, what we should do. Not only that, but eventually, shortly thereafter, we have the Kissinger Memorandum. I think it's NSM 200 or NNS 200, something like that. But it's Kissinger Report, the Kissinger Memorandum. And in this memorandum, again, they entertain the idea of using food as a weapon because we're overpopulated, and then gets into why we're headed on a hideous path. And in that memorandum, it says they do not want the world over 8 million people. Now, this isn't a government document. This was put out during the Nixon years. So I think, 70s? I'm like blanking. Or around there. But anyway, it's the document was put out, and while it says 8 billion, not mil, did I say million? I meant billion. 8 billion people is the max we can have on this planet. Now, we know, according to the Georgia Guidestones, it's a lot less.
Yeah, 500 million.
Yes. Yeah. But on official government documents, this is what we have. And we're currently on the brink of that now. We're over 7 billion people. So we're above where they want us. They said in 2012, they wanted us at a certain level. And here they want us at a certain level. Well, we're about to break through that level. So I think this is why we're having some major things take place. Now, another thing, and eventually, you know, it morphs into Agenda 21, which is now Agenda 2030. It's all kind of morphed from prior documents into the whole enchilada. It's a world agenda. Now, also in this memorandum, they talked about breaking up the world into handling your population as you can. And so ideas were thrown out there, limit children, sterilants in the water. These kinds of things were thrown as, you know, ideas. But they also, kind of under the radar, I would say, but what they concluded with is each country is to handle their population on their own, in their own way. But every one of them needs to do it. And so if you look at our government, it's a satanic agenda wrapped in a pretty little bottle for these globalist elites, so to speak. So Satan has basically given them a problem. Too many people on the earth. We need to kill people. And so now these globalists think, oh, I'm doing the right thing. No, you're doing the satanic thing, because what you're fed is completely wrong. And some of them are deceived, and some of them know exactly what they're doing. Because there's a battle even in the, you know, in the government, I feel. But anyhow, they went and Africa, you know, we have AIDS and hunger. That's being handled there quite well. We go over to China. They have the one child. You can only have one child. However, this year they said, well, you can have two if you have approval from the government. That's their way. Here in America and European countries, they're handling it with GMOs, you know, fluoride in the water, chemtrails in the sky, all these things attacking us under the radar, and prescription drugs. I mean, it just depends on, you know, where you're at, and vaccinations. That's another one. So we have these kinds of things attacking. That's why it's such a battle to label GMOs here in America, because it's one of the things they're using to make people sterilized. You know, you can't have babies or, you know, things like that. So that's where it's headed.
And yes, Agenda 2030 and the whole global warming thing is an excuse in a sense, because they have to have some cause to unite them. You know, they have to be fighting something, don't they? Otherwise, they're not going to unite everyone. So I that's why I think the climate change, and not even really calling it global warming so much, climate change is, you know, the issue that they're using to unite us and unite the countries of the world to have to fight this so-called thing that I think is nothing to do with man-made stuff, actually. Apart from, obviously, you've got the geoengineering that you mentioned and HAARP and all of those things creating weather warfare. But in terms of man's, the carbon footprint thing, I think that's a load of nonsense. And it's just an excuse to tax people and push people towards the one world government. And there are a lot of, I mean, there's so many issues. You know, also, you look around, the Jesus said in, you know, Matthew 24 and Luke 21, a whole lot of the signs that are going to precede is coming. And earthquakes in various places or diverse places is one of them. And, you know, we look at the number of earthquakes and volcanoes that just seem to be erupting around the world, or earthquakes occurring around the Pacific Rim, etc. In fact, we've just had them here where I am in the last couple of days, a 7.5 earthquake, which was left us pretty rattled and on the edge, I must say. No damage to my house, but all my cupboards were flung open, and, you know, it was definitely a case of dive for cover because it was pretty intense and very long, and we've had a lot of aftershocks. But that's happening all over the world, you know. You see it in Italy, and these are the kind of things to be looking out for. And I think at one point there was like 38 volcanoes erupting at once or something, so all of the signs are actually pointing to us getting closer. And the other thing is war. What do you see in terms of that front, you know, with Russia and Syria? And have you got any thoughts on that whole Middle East situation?
Is it ever going to be calm? I don't think so. You know, there's so many ways. I mean, not necessarily ways that it can go, but we definitely are going to continue to see an insurgence of radical groups, whether they go under the name of Al-Qaeda or ISIS or the many other names they want to brand them, or they could change the name. They could form a new group or whatever, however you want to do it. They're still going to infiltrate the area. I don't think they'll ever fully go away. And why? Well, because we've already shown here in America that, you know, we had a Muslim in the White House who, quite frankly, has turned his back on American values. That's, you know, Obama has done this, and he's gone and bowed his head to many, you know, that are radical Islams, in my opinion. And it's, you know, there's going to continue to be that tension. And what that tells me, that Obama got to the level that he is, and I think Obama's even a radical Islam at heart. You know, I honestly believe that because of who he surrounds himself with and who he's gotten involved with, but he's also got that communist slant to it. So is it the enemy of my enemy is my friend? Well, I don't know, but nonetheless, he definitely is Muslim, and I think more extreme. But being that he got that far into where he is tells me that there's a lot more infiltration than we realize. So whether it's globally or, you know, in the Middle East, I think all countries, you know, should have a little bit of a heads up about it. But if we look to history, what I will say is there's always been a battle with it in history. Always. We have, you know, battles of Jews and Muslims and I think Catholics and Muslims and Christians. There's always been battles of religion, but Muslim has been one that you will see a common thread, the radical Islamic side throughout history. What do you think?
I totally agree. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the two factions, the Sunnis and the Shiites, though, as to how, you know, whether they end up dealing to each other in the future. But I agree about Obama and the fact that he's put Muslim Brotherhood people in high places. And that's going to be interesting to see, another issue to see what actually Donald Trump does there, because I did see something today that they've vowed to put the Muslim Brotherhood relabel them as a terrorist organization again. Whereas I think, you know, under Obama, they pushed it in Egypt before Morsi was taken out. You know, the Obama administration was behind a lot of that and the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens from here on out in America with that. But yeah, Islam, yeah, it's an interesting one. I know some people are picking an Islamic antichrist to be. I don't personally think so. That's probably for another whole discussion. But that's not where I think it. I don't think the antichrist is going to be Islamic for a whole lot of reasons. What I say, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, there's also moves towards cashless society and that mark of the beast sort of technology. You had I had a little interview you did with Carl Teichrib just recently, talking about some of these things and the religions, you know, the uniting to put towards a one world religion. Yeah, that was a real interesting interview.
Oh yeah, I actually hadn't met, I hadn't even heard of him before that day, and I'm so glad I did. I'm like, I like you.
Yeah.
Because he actually goes into these places. I mean, he had so many stories that he shared with us off the record that, you know, we didn't have time to share on, you know, on the interview there. But he told stories about how he's infiltrated like these cult, not the like new age kind of things, because his job is to get in there and figure out what's going on and what they're doing, so we can figure out, you know, hey, this is what's really going on and what we need to watch out for in our country. And then he also had, you know, when he went to the United Nations, he went to G8, G20, like all these different summits, you know, all these different things that he had actually, I'll say infiltrated, because that's what it was. And just to gather intel. And he said the one underlining thing about all these organizations, even in the New Age and the globalist movement, and there's a big movement that we're fighting against, both spiritually and, I think, you know, as a country, fighting our freedoms against. It's this movement of oneness. He said it was a common thread in everything. And he's even been to like transhumanist events. And even there, they're all headed for this. They honestly believe that we can have peace on earth and one big happy family if we're all united as one. Well, you and I know that that's impossible.
Yeah.
God says that's impossible because we live a sinful nature. We're born into sin. We're not born good. And so it's not something that you give someone that much power, it's just going to turn out blissful. It never does. We look at our government now, it's very corrupt. I mean, really. And so we have to have checks and balances in place. We have Congress, we have the legislative against the president, and then these three branches of power fight each other. But at least there's some kind of, you know, power struggle between it, to where one doesn't harbor all the power. Well, New World Order, it's going to be a lot worse than that. But they honestly believe that lie. And so the oneness theology, it's not only creeping in, you know, the New Age and, you know, the globalist organizations, but quite frankly, it's in a lot of churches. And I hate to say it, but it's true. And I've gone to a lot of these, some of these churches, and they're like, yeah, we're all one big happy family. And I know Joel Osteen pushes, you know, oneness from his church. We have people like him doing that. A lot of the mega churches, they've just really given in to some of these mindsets and mentalities. And there's a lot of Christians here in America, especially, that are ticked off about it. And I don't blame them. And so I think it's an underlining thing, an underlining one world religion that we're going to have to watch out for, because we know the Pope is on the top as well, pushing the oneness theology. He's even downed Jesus a few times, and considering he's of the Catholic line, that should just dethrone him altogether, but it hasn't. Why? Well, because there's an agenda.
Of course, he's the first Jesuit Pope, and yes, the Jesuits are behind a heck of a lot of what's going on. And yeah, Joel Osteen and others meeting with the Pope, and you've got to wonder, the one world religion under what? you know, like you were saying, you know, in a sense is that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So to unite everyone, it's going to have to be united under something, which means that people have to change their views to suit whatever that oneness thing is. So if you don't agree with it, what are they going to do? To force you or to retrain people into that system of belief, that whole oneness thing? Because it's not going to happen. So they're going to have to force it in one way or another if that's their end goal, which ties in pretty much with Revelation chapter 13, the way I see it, with the beast and the false prophet. And I'm not saying that I think Pope Francis is a false prophet. He may well be, but my feeling is he's too old, and I haven't seen him calling out fire from the sky or anything like that as yet either. But I'm certainly watching him very closely, because his agenda is part of that one world religion agenda, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think anyone, whoever's in the papacy, you know, who comes after him or after him, I think it's very possible. I know there's a big belief out there that the papacy could be who plays the role of the false prophet, which I think is plausible. Could happen. Yeah. Could it not be? Sure. But only time is going to ultimately be our factor. But they definitely are high up the rank, so to speak. One of the candidates. For sure. And I like to say the candidates, because there are many. And so many people have said, oh, I think so-and-so is the Antichrist, and they stick to that, and he's not the Antichrist. Oh, so-and-so is the Antichrist, they stick to that, it's not the Antichrist. Well, you're going to discredit yourself.
I'm glad you've said that, because that's the same thing that I've been saying, and others like Joni and Brooke and now our Minute to Midnight team, you know. We've seen that so many times, and people are so adamant that their candidate is the Antichrist that they won't look at anyone else. I mean, there's the Obama's the Antichrist crowd, which are the same, you know, and then Obama will go and whatever, and I don't think Obama will ever totally disappear, but I think he'll still play a role. But those people are adamant that he's going to still come back somehow or other and be the Antichrist. Well, we'll see. I doubt it myself. But it's like we've got to keep our eyes open and our discernment there. And if you lock yourself into a position that something is the truth, you know, in your mind, then you can miss it if it turns out to be something else. And that's how I think a lot of people will actually end up being deceived.
Absolutely. And that's what I try to tell, you know, other people. Well, don't stick to them, because you just don't know. And so when I put out reports, I'll say, oh, here's another quote candidate, because they're all just candidates. We don't know until the time actually transpires. And I kind of just hold to that. And I think, you know, we're on teetering on some pretty rocky ground as we get more into, you know, end times and the Bible playing out. The Lord tells us it would be as birth pangs. So we know they come short and then they increase in intensity. Well, in some areas, I think we're going to see major increases, and maybe not so much in others, until it all comes down to the wire and we're actually in that time period spoken of in biblical prophecy. But so many things we need to watch out for. And definitely the New World Order, the One World Religion are all on the top of the list. And what I find absolutely fascinating as a Christian is God said these things would happen. We know that the Bible tells us that the Antichrist that the Antichrist will have every tribe, tongue, and nation serving him. Mm. Well, that is the New World Order. That's everyone on planet Earth bowing to one person, and everyone who wants to, I guess, shall take the mark of the beast on their right hand or forehead, the number of his name, how it's written in there. That signifies some kind of global order and global mark of the beast, in which you take it or you don't take it. Hopefully you don't. But don't.
Yeah, definitely not. We're not. Yeah, we're certainly not advocating that anyone even considers.
Yeah, just to clarify, don't take it.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah. So, I mean, we're living on the brink of some pretty crazy days. And so my main thing for people out there is be ready spiritually, be ready with the Lord, get right with Jesus, because it's not the time to mess around.
Yeah, that's got to be bottom line. Absolutely. See, the other thing I've noticed lately is we're seeing all sorts of turbulence in the economy, but but people have lost sight of it almost because it's been a distraction by everything else, the election and that, so people are not really paying attention to what's going on there. And a lot of people are going to be unprepared for whatever chaos occurs. And like you say, being spiritually prepared is first and foremost. I know at one stage, oh, it's ages back, you did a really excellent little video about prepping and the things you want to need to be ready. And I think people need to still remember that. You know, for us here, for me, the whole earthquake scenario that we've been having, it really brings home the need, you know, the necessity to have essential supplies stocked up and a bug out bag or whatever if you're stuck somewhere. And when you're, you know, in these sort of situations, it's suddenly like, oh yeah. And a lot of the supermarkets, particularly in the areas closest to where the earthquake were, you know, they sold out of water, bottled water, really quickly, and food on the shelves, they were rationing it. And that's the sort of thing that could happen big time really quickly. And not just because of an earthquake, it can be an earthquake, but an economic collapse or whatever. And, yeah, just reminding people to, you know, to make sure they are prepared for whatever's coming.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100% because, you know, I prepare myself and I don't ever tell anyone to do anything that I don't personally do. I believe in it. And as I stated in the beginning, I think, you know, we don't know which way, you know, Donald Trump's presidency is going to look like. Is he really in with them? I hope and pray not. If he is, well, we've got some bumpy roads ahead. Yeah. If he's not, I think we still have bumpy roads ahead because I think they're going to let some stuff loose during his presidency to, you know, make his movement look bad, so to speak. Though it's not his movement, it's just the freedom movement that's been birthed all along, and it's just got his face, so to speak, for now. But I don't think that's, you know, the end all either. But definitely there is a movement that the New World Order doesn't like. And it's actually catching on across the globe. We had Brexit, that came first. And I think actually that gave hope to America. Wow, they could do that? Well, we should stand against globalism. So I think it was a good smack in the face for us here. For as far as we've let it gotten, how much more will Americans and people around the world allow that to happen is my question. So I think we're going to see, we could see a movement worldwide, but we could also see the globalists fight back massively, which could lead into the biblical end times.
Absolutely. Now, can you give our listeners your website? And I'm sure most of them probably already know it anyway, but for those that don't and want to find you on the internet, where they can find you?
Yeah, I have lisahavennews.net. And I'm also going to be kicking off a new website, a new look, a new logo pretty soon here. I'm so excited.
Yeah, sounds good.
And that'll be lisahaven.news. So right now it's under construction, but that's the other one. And then people, obviously, I'm on YouTube. So you can just plug in Lisa Haven and I'm there.
Excellent. Yeah, it's been really awesome to have you on our show today. I mean, we've sort of covered a lot of stuff, and we haven't covered any of it in huge depth, but we've covered a lot of bases, especially for people that, you know, don't know a lot of this. They can then go and look up more of what we've said. Have you got any, like, finishing thoughts that you'd like to close out with?
Just, you know, stay strong in these unstable times. Get right spiritually, get prepared physically, and stay in tune with the news, with what's really going on in alternative media. It's going to be crucial in this time.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being on the A Minute to Midnight show today, Lisa. And we'll have to get you back again.
Yeah, thank you. I had a good time. So thanks for inviting me.
No worries. Well, I really enjoyed speaking to Lisa today on the show. And I hope you all got a lot out of this, and certainly a lot of things that you can go and research to find out more information from. And remember, we post all our shows on the aminutetomidnight.com website, and night is spelled N-I-T-E. We have a donation button on the website, and we really appreciate those of you that help us because we are totally run by donations. So thanks to those that do give to helping A Minute to Midnight keep running. and I write and play and record all the music on our shows, and you can find my music at rockshoresounds.com, and there's a link to that on the aminutetomidnight.com website. So that's about it for today. This is Tony signing off for this episode of the A Minute to Midnight show.